Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Xiaomi Redmi Note 9, which is a new smartphone in the market. And it's not the Redmi Note 9 Pro, it's not the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max. It is a phone that is more affordable than those two devices. Now to talk about this device, we have Aditya Shenoy here with us, who's our in-house Android expert.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Everyone should hopefully be fine. And I think, you know, in this time, it's actually a good question to ask to people as well, because it's a global crisis and we are not exempt from it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been so long that I've been in office and, you know, we usually record the podcast and I'm kind of disconnected. I feel disconnected. So thankfully, I've got devices that do keep me connected. So interesting. And we are talking about the new smartphone here. So definitely, I think, you know, looking forward to answer your questions about this particular device.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so I'm your host Pranay Parab. And like I said before, we will be starting this episode by talking about the name of this device itself and what's going on with Xiaomi recently. In a previous episode, yes, we did discuss the similarities between the Poco M2 Pro and the Redmi Note 9 Pro, which are basically identical phones. One comes with a faster charger and that's pretty much it. Now, with the Redmi Note 9, obviously, like, this phone has to be new. It can't be a copy of anything because so far, Xiaomi is the one that's been launching these original devices. And I think now we have a record of Poco copying them, which is a sub-brand now for Xiaomi. Or an independent company, I should clarify. You know, if I call it a sub-brand, maybe someone from Xiaomi is going to call me and say, oh, that's not true. But to be accurate, it's an independent company. But looking at the product that they launched recently, it seems like a sub-brand. So there is that confusion in my mind again and again. It's, what is Redmi Note 9? What does Redmi Note 9 Pro have? What does the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max have, which is not there in the Redmi Note 9 Pro? So this naming scheme and the multiple devices that they keep launching is confusing me a bit. But what about you?
So what I would say is that, you know, definitely the naming, first of all, with even Xiaomi, it is a little confusing. You already have, you're used to, you know, namings like Redmi Note 8, Redmi Note 7, Note 7S and stuff. But here they've gone in with Redmi Note 9 Pro, then Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, and now they've launched a Redmi Note 9, which, you know, based on their naming scheme, is going to be at the bottom of this particular chain. And then you have got Poco, who is also launching phones. Now their naming strategy is completely different, and but however, the similarity is that the hardware and even the software to quite an extent is very, very similar to Xiaomi smartphones, and the pricing is also very similar. So you have seen, we have seen like multiple overlaps here. So there is a lot of confusion about this device, but at this point, there's only one Redmi Note 9, and you know, there's not many devices that have the same hardware or, you know, configuration as this particular device. So hopefully, you know, things, I would say that hopefully things should change, because you know, there is more space in this particular price segment for someone else to bring something interesting. So I think only it's about time that Poco brings something that is very similar to the Redmi Note 9 Pro.
Yeah, true that. That is going to happen. And another company that is going to bring something not similar while competing with this one is Realme. So I guess the Realme 6i was launched right before we recorded this podcast. So that's another phone that you are currently reviewing. So it'll be really interesting to see where those two, you know, phones end up. Like, we probably will be doing an episode about that in the near future when obviously the Realme 6i you know, is totally tested and reviewed. But right now, the Redmi Note 9 is the phone that we have reviewed. And let's start with the basics. So first, I think the pricing, that should be a good starting point, right?
Well, yes. So what they have done a little differently with the Redmi Note 9 this time is the pricing. And it is slightly higher when you compare it to the Redmi Note 8. So for instance, the Redmi Note 8 was starting at 9,999 rupees. But Xiaomi couldn't do the exact same thing with the Redmi Note 9. And they say part of the reason is that the rupee is weaker to the dollar and the GST hike that is also causing them a pricing issue. So the base variant of the Redmi Note 9 is priced at 11,999 rupees, and then you have the second variant. It comes in at 13,499 rupees, and the top end model is priced at 14,999 rupees. So it's just under your 15,000 rupee price segment, you know. So that is one main difference there. And in terms of the configuration, I've only mentioned the price, so let me put in the configuration as well. So the base variant will give you 4 GB of RAM and 64 GB of storage. The mid variant, that is priced at 13,499, that will give you 4 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage. And the top end model that I reviewed had 6 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage at 14,999. So I think the pricing is somewhat decent, because when you look at the other things that it offers, so you have a quad camera setup at the back, you have a full HD plus display, which sadly, you know, a few smartphone manufacturers are skimping around the 10 to 12,000 rupee price segment. Thankfully, Redmi has not done that. So it does have some decent hardware there. So, you know, it was an interesting smartphone to test. And I think the Realme 6i, like you said, was launched recently. That also does have impressive specifications on paper.
Yeah, true that. So about the Redmi Note 9, the one thing that immediately jumps out is that the higher variants, particularly if you look at the highest variant, now that is more expensive than the Redmi Note 9 Pro. And at that point, I start questioning whether, you know, somebody should look at the base variant of the Redmi Note 9 only and not consider the higher variant, since a better phone is available at that price. And even the Poco M2 Pro, for that matter, if you get a faster charger with that, that is. So you know, that is where the main confusion comes in for me.
Yes, so absolutely. I think, you know, there is a certain amount of overlap, because for Xiaomi, I think they've been mainly targeting the sub 15 and sub 20,000 rupee segments. And they have got three smartphones in this particular, in these two price ranges, and it's bound to overlap. And from what I've seen is that the base variant of the Redmi Note 9 does offer very good value for money. And like you said, when you look at the top end model that comes in at 15,000 rupees, the Poco M2 Pro, you know, it has better hardware, a more powerful processor, faster charger, like you said, and even the Redmi Note 9 Pro, for instance, it has the same exact same processor as the M2 Pro. So it's more powerful than the MediaTek Helio G85 that is powering the Redmi Note 9 as well. So definitely for someone who's looking at a higher price point, I think it makes sense to go in for the base variant of the other two smartphones we're talking about.
Yeah, true that. So that means, you know, you can probably consider the base variant of the Redmi Note 9 without thinking too much. But the highest variant may not look like such good value for money. And, you know, like another question I have here is, a lot of people will be looking at the Redmi Note 8, which is available at the same price point right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then the Note 9. So is it a like clear upgrade and a clear successor to the Note 8?
So, you know, with, when you compare it with the Redmi Note 8, I would say that, see, the Note 9 is definitely more powerful, because the MediaTek Helio G85 here that they've used for this particular smartphone, it has got a better CPU and a better GPU. So if in case you're into gaming, it will handle, the Redmi Note 9 will handle graphics better, because it's a 1 gigahertz GPU that they have. The Redmi Note 8, you know, couldn't play, say if you're playing PUBG Mobile, for example, the Redmi Note 8 couldn't play it at the high settings the Redmi Note 9 can. And, you know, when you're playing at the higher settings with a faster, you know, frame rate, it just makes it easier for you to play on it, and it's just going to improve your gaming performance there as well. And apart from that, it's also one of the few phones to hit the 2 lakh benchmark at this particular price point. There are not a lot of phones that do it, but this is one of them that manages.
You're talking about the AnTuTu score, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, this is the AnTuTu benchmark score that the Redmi Note 9 hits. And in terms of the camera, I don't think there's a huge difference, because when you look at smartphones in this particular price point, the camera performance is very, very similar. So even if you go in for, say, the Redmi Note 8, the Note 9, the Poco M2 Pro, for example, you are going to get like decent photos in daylight. Low light is where these smartphones kind of struggle. In this particular price point, I think you might as well go in for the newer smartphone, because one, the design is completely different compared to the Redmi Note 8. So the Note 9 still has that new aura. It has that new aura design, which is there on the 9 Pro and the 9 Pro Max as well. So, you know, it's a newer looking smartphone, newer internals, better scope of an update. Not that it's going to be 100% true in terms of Xiaomi, you're going to keep getting MIUI updates instead of Android. But I think you're better off with the newer smartphone than the older one.
Yeah, I mean, for most people, that is completely true. I don't think they will really want to get the older device anymore, considering that the Note 8 has had a fair few price hikes recently.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know, like these days, whenever I recommend any smartphone, right, like whenever I look at any of these reviews that we do, I feel a little scared that, okay, after we review, the price will go up and the review won't be like fair anymore. That's, you
Yes.
know, a fear that I just have. What about you?
So, you know, this is something that has recently happened as well. So, for instance, the Redmi Note 9 Pro and the Pro Max, for example, they were launched at a very aggressive price point, and it isn't as value for money as it was when you know, Xiaomi launched it. The price has gone up by about 2,000 rupees, I guess, per variant, roughly. And it's the same thing that happened with the Motorola One Fusion Plus as well. So that was one smartphone I recently reviewed. It was an excellent value for money device for 16,999 rupees, one variant only. But they've bumped the price up. It's gone to 17,499 rupees. And you know, it is a price sensitive segment wherein even a fluctuation of 500 to 1,000 rupees is gonna change decisions, because you have a lot of options in this price point. So, you know, look at the Poco M2 Pro, for example. It's priced lower than the Redmi Note 9 Pro, and you're getting pretty much exactly the same device with a Poco launcher on it. So, you know, I think it's going to definitely help swing, you know, the decision in the Poco's favor. So, it is going to make a difference there. So, price hike is something, and this was one question I did have for Xiaomi, but for them, it was like it's something that is beyond their control. If the rupee drops, the value of the rupee drops to the dollar further, then the price is going to go up again, because at this point, they will have to transfer it to the consumer. So,
Yeah, the
this
Poco M2 Pro though is at the same price as the Redmi Note 9 Pro, right? I mean, from what I see, it is 13,999 for both, at least for the base
Yes.
variant. But like you get some extra features with the Poco M2 Pro, so your point stands. Like you get 33 watt fast
Yeah.
charger in the box, otherwise you would have spent 3,000 more for that. So, you know,
Yeah.
it is really odd to see that. So, yeah. But anyway, I mean, let's look at the Redmi Note 9 as an independent smartphone in itself. So, in terms of performance, what can you expect? And we'll talk about the software later, because that is a, you know, big problem for many Xiaomi phones. So, yeah, let's just do
Okay.
that.
So in terms of the hardware with respect to say the Redmi Note 9 Pro, one thing that I do like about it is that it's got a hole punch that's on a it's in the corner. I did not like it on the Redmi Note 9 Pro and the Pro Max because it was bang in the center and there was no way you could miss it. So it's there on the corner. It's got a rear mounted fingerprint scanner. Now personally, I prefer a rear mounted fingerprint scanner than something that's on the side, because you know, on the back of the phone, your finger naturally rests there, and that is roughly where the fingerprint scanner is. So it's very convenient. You don't have to consciously place the finger that you have set on the side mounted fingerprint scanner here. So that is one thing that I like about this particular smartphone. It is not very, very bulky, but it does pack in a 5,020 milliamp hour battery. Now this does not have got it does not have Corning Gorilla Glass at the back. It's like a polycarbonate back, and at the front you do get Corning Gorilla Glass 5. In terms of the processor, this is something new. So the MediaTek Helio G85 is a new processor. So far, I have not noticed any lag or stutter while using this particular smartphone. So if you are a light to medium user who's going to mainly be taking calls, answering WhatsApp, doing a few video calls right now, and playing a few casual games, you will not have any issue with this particular smartphone. But if you are a heavy gamer, if you're going to be playing games on it, then I do see that, you know, the smartphone will get warm to the touch, and that is something you need to keep an eye out on. The
Yeah, true that.
5,020 milliamp hour battery that you get again is good, because it will last you beyond a day and a half easily. And
And what about the
with respect
reverse
to
charging
charging,
feature?
yes, so they have put in a 9 watt reverse charging feature in it, but there's no accessory in the box, so you'll probably have to go and get a, you know, an adapter or a type C to type C cable to charge something else. So that kind of stuff you don't get in the box. But if you have a type C to type C cable hanging around, or if you have an adapter from say a type C to a full size USB, and you can plug it into a charger. So I think it's a good feature, because with a bigger battery, it kind of eliminates the need of carrying a separate power bank. So if in case you have, say, Bluetooth headphones with you, or even say a wearable that you would want to charge. So it is capable of doing it. And 9 watt honestly is a very decent charging speed, because even your average low-end smartphone will come with a 10 watt charger. So 9 watt charging speed is decent. That is somewhat you will get from a power bank as well. So I think it's a good feature to have. It would have been better if they would have just tossed in an adapter or, you know, a tiny cable in the box just to sweeten it further. But I think I'm asking a bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, in this price range, you're getting this feature. That itself is a pretty significant deal. Yeah, so I'm a bit sad to hear that the Helio G85 on this does have a heating problem. At least, based on what you've said about the gaming and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say that, you know, it gets warm if you're playing on it for a while. It isn't, like it used to be back in the day with Xiaomi phones, wherein it would get so hot that you would have to keep the phone down. It does get warm, but nothing very alarming there.
Okay, cool. So there's that. Now I think let's look at the software. So,
okay.
I think, first of all, there's some clarification needed on some preloaded apps that, you know, are currently banned in India. And then we can talk about, you know, the ads and the spam that we usually face from Xiaomi devices.
So, with respect to this particular smartphone, like every Xiaomi device, it comes with MIUI on top of Android. So, it is MIUI 11 in this case, and the underlying software is Android 10. And it also has the recent security patch, which is June. So, that is nice. In terms of, the pre-installed bloatware, I think it is, it's still not changed significantly, at least for the review unit that I was using for this entire review. So it does have a few apps pre-installed. You've got like Rummy King, Mi Store, Zilli, you've got multiple games, Hello, Mi Pay, Mi Community. Now, two of these apps did stand out because Hello and Mi Community are a part of, the list of banned apps that have been banned in India. And I was kind of surprised to see it here. I was expecting a software update to wipe it out. I did get a tiny software update, but it did nothing towards that. So it's still there. And but these apps are non-functional. So even if you click it, you pretty much get a notification that, it does not load up. Hello, for example, has a post which says that, you know, they're working with the government to figure out a solution. And it's somewhat similar with the Mi Community app as well. So that way, I would have liked if it was not there on this particular device, but it comes pre-installed, and I think they did not change it. But I think a software update is probably going to get rid of it.
Okay.
But
So otherwise, the ad and spam problem, is it still there?
What do you think?
Xiaomi had a change of heart. They removed all ads, and now you have a phone running stock Android.
And then Pranay woke up from his sleep. So that is a higher chance of it happening. But no, the ad situation is still there. And so, when you set up the smartphone, it does give you multiple options that are checked. And a lot of people kind of skip it while, they're eager to, start their smartphone. So there is a couple of settings there if you uncheck them. So the one, for example, I remember it's lock screen ads powered by Glance. So what it does is when your phone is locked, you do get promotional content on your lock screen itself. So if you don't uncheck it, you get it. Otherwise, you'll have to go somewhere deep down into the settings to disable it. That is one. Second is the apps that were spammy are still spammy. So currently, I can see an ad waiting from Mi Video so there's an ad. There are multiple ads. So you have Mi Video, you've got Get Apps, which again, it's like an alternative to the Play Store, wherein it recommends certain apps, and that it keeps pushing notifications. Hey, why don't you download these apps and all? And also, while you're setting the phone up, it does give you a list of common apps that are checked to install. I don't like bloatware on a smartphone. So for those reasons, I uncheck them. But if someone who doesn't pay attention while setting up the device will definitely have a lot more pre-installed apps the moment the device is set up. So that is something I think Xiaomi needs to stop. Especially, promotional content or even spammy content from Mi Video is something they can clearly stop. I can imagine, you know, if GetApps is a completely different app that comes pre-installed and they get a fee for it, so they cannot control the kind of promotion it pushes out, but they can definitely change something there or not give it pre-installed. So the ad situation is still the same, and well, I hope that it changes, but I don't know what Xiaomi plans on doing.
Yeah, true that. I don't think they're going to remove that anytime soon. And apart from that, like, it's just a bit sad to see this continuing, like, non-stop. This is not the experience that people should be having. I just hope that someone wakes up at some point in Xiaomi and decides that, okay, when MIUI 12 phone ships, 12 phones ship, at that time they will not ship these ads. So anyway, to wrap up this episode, why don't we just quickly talk about, like, the camera experience that you can get on this device, and then okay, we'll just give some closing thoughts after that.
So before I move on to the camera, let me talk about one other bit of software thing that has been in the news. Mm-hmm. Is that this particular smartphone, the Redmi Note 9, comes with a 22.5 watt charger in the box, mm-hmm, but it's only capable of 18 watt charging. Okay. And what Xiaomi says that there is, so it's kind of pointless there, because a device that's only capable of taking in 18 watts, even if you pack in, say, a 50 watt charger, it's not going to make any difference. So that is something that was, discussed on Twitter. I've seen multiple reviewers talking about it, and we did reach out to Xiaomi for an explanation of why it is happening, and it's also clear on the international page or the global page for the Redmi Note 9, where it says that the device is capable of 18 watt fast charge. Yeah. Xiaomi did write back, and they did mention that the device is locked to 18 watt by software, and they currently haven't finished their field and lab testing, which unlocks 22.5 watt, and they say that they are going to roll out a software update to enable faster charging. So that is something that's not there available yet. So for someone who thinks that, okay, the device does have 22.5 watt charging, it's not there on the device right now, but if a software update lands for it, it will be capable, and because of which currently the device takes about 2 hours to charge completely. So that is something you need to keep in mind as well. So it's not the fastest I've seen, but it's okay. So this was like one other bit about the Redmi Note 9 that I think you guys need to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that covers a very important point, which a lot of people are going to be a bit confused about. There was some hoo-ha on Twitter about this, and then finally Xiaomi issued a clarification. They could have obviously avoided this had they just told us in the beginning itself, you know. So
that would have been I think better. It would have been a lot better, because, even with respect to Realme, for example, they did launch the Realme 6i, and they have been mentioning the charging speeds with the 30 watt charger. And they've clearly mentioned that the box only comes with a 20 watt charger. So I think there could have been some clarity in terms of communication from Xiaomi's end. As long as the software update comes in, they should be good. If it doesn't come in, then that's a problem.
Yeah, that's what. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so let's talk about the cameras. About
cameras on this device. Okay. So on the Redmi Note 9, it has a quad camera setup, and I think this is something we can expect on pretty much every smartphone that will be launched in 2020. That, like, a quad camera setup is bare minimum. So quad camera setup on the Redmi Note 9 as well, and it's got a selfie in the hole punch at the front. So what they have done with the entire setup is it's very, very similar to the Redmi Note 9 Pro. So you do have a 48 megapixel primary sensor and an 8 megapixel ultra wide angle sensor. The macro camera is 2 megapixels only, and a 2 megapixel depth sensor. So this is like a standard templatized quad camera setup that is very, very common in this particular price range. And after using this for a while, what I did find interesting is that in daylight, this phone clicks good photos. If you enable AI, the AI tends to over sharpen images when you're clicking, like, landscapes and stuff. It does over sharpen it a little. I do not like that. That is one thing you need to keep in mind. The ultra wide angle camera does not have the best quality, because you're going down from a 48 megapixel primary camera to an 8, so that difference is visible, wherein you lose out on details. It's not very the exposure can be off at times, but apart from that, no other issues there. Macro camera, again, it lets you get very close. 2 megapixels only, not that you would want to you know, zoom into the image because you're already going very close to the subject. It is sharp, it does manage good details. And with respect to the depth sensor, it mainly comes in when you're using the primary camera for portrait mode and all. So one thing I did not like about this is that it does not let you set the level of blur that you would want in a photo. It does give you beautification option, weirdly. You do have the option to select the level of beautification you would want in a portrait, but you cannot set the blur. It does that automatically based on it, and it does a good job. The edge detection is very nice, no issues there. Low light is where I was not very, very happy with this particular device. So, so the AI is good. Mm. So when you click photos with normal photo mode and night mode, there's not much of a difference. In fact, I would say that for night mode, when you enable it, it keeps the shutter open for longer, which means that you have to keep the phone still for a slightly longer time. Mm. And there's not a significant difference. The AI in the photo mode itself does a good job. Yeah. In terms of video.
Yeah.
Video is where...
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah. I just wanted to like ask you quickly about is it reasonable to expect like better low light performance at this price point, or is it like just objectively bad and we can, you know, be worried about what
no.
we get?
No. So the thing is, I would say when you look at the low light camera performance on this thing, I would say it's about average. It is not something great. It's not bad. I wouldn't say that, you know, you need to keep this phone in your pocket if you are even thinking of clicking a low light shot. So no, it's not pathetic. You're still going to get a usable shot out of it. It's just that, you know, if it could have been tweaked slightly better. And at this price point, and when I say price, this particular price point, I'm looking mainly at the 12,000 rupee price point that the base variant of this particular smartphone targets. Because when you look at the 15,000 rupee device, I think the other devices will give you better camera performance. So you look at the Poco M2 Pro, that also has the same issue. But the Motorola One Fusion Plus, it's a slightly higher price point that managed somewhat better photos. That and the Poco X2, that does manage better. But sub 15, I think this is on par with what you would get. For better low light, I think you'll have to go higher than 15,000 rupees.
Yeah, true that. So, TK, I mean, at least, you know, while the performance is bad, it's not like so bad that you have to worry about, you know, what you get in this price point. Fair. Okay, you were talking about video performance.
Yes. So the video performance, first of all, this is not capable of doing 4K, so you're stuck with 1080p video. And it does have stabilization. So it has EIS wherein it will electronically stabilize the output. And in daylight, it does a decent job. But low light, you have that shimmer effect. So you know, you're not going to get a very usable footage there.
Hmm.
So that is a bit of an issue.
Okay, then cool. So I think that kind of sums up most of the things about this device. But are there any closing thoughts that you want to share before we wrap the episode?
So with respect to the Redmi Note 9, I would say that you know, this particular smartphone is going to appeal for someone on a tight budget, and I think the base variant does make some sense. If you are looking for the higher variant phones like the Realme 6, the Poco M2 Pro, the Redmi Note 9 Pro do offer better value, and you know, you also get a premium build there, you get faster charging. So the top variant of this particular smartphone does not have anything going for it, you know. So you will get better value for your money if you go in for the base variant of some other of, you know, one of the three phones I just mentioned. But apart from that, it's a typical Redmi smartphone for someone on a budget, and I think the base model has the maximum value for money quotient. Apart from that, there's nothing honestly that stands out. However, I will say that this Arctic white color that they have introduced, I kind of like it. I like the gradient pattern that's there. It's slightly different from what you get on other devices. So that is the only one thing I really like about this one.
Okay, then cool. So all in all, good to hear that you know, this is another decent smartphone in this budget. Now, my only hope is that the price stays the same and it does not increase. But in these uncertain times, you can never be very sure. So whatever we are saying, it's based on the current pricing, which is starting at 11,999. But do keep in mind that the price changes. Some of the things we've said about this phone on this podcast, they may not be valid anymore. We just have to put this disclaimer in every episode now, simply because the price fluctuation thing is really catching us off guard. There's nothing we can do about it. We can only review a device with the current price in mind. We can't really predict what's going to happen in the future. So, you know, there you have it. That's that about this. So anyway, thanks a lot, Aditya, for joining us on this episode and clearing most doubts about the Redmi Note 9 as well. And with that, we'll wrap this episode. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you like this podcast, do subscribe to it, do rate it, do review it on any podcast player of your choice. Apple Podcast is the one that allows you to rate and review things. On other players, you may not be able to rate it, but you can definitely subscribe to the podcast because that helps us a lot. And finally, well, thank you so much for listening to it. And if you have any questions, comments, and feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com.